This is Bill Brenner for SearchSecurity.com. You're listening to our Security Wire Weekly podcast for September 5th, 2007. This week, Tipping Point security researcher Pedro Mamini explains why the Sully Fuzzing framework is an important development in the quest to uncover software vulnerabilities. And MIT fixes flaws in the widely used Kerberos program. We begin with a new warning for Firefox users. Despite Mozilla's recent Firefox security update, two researchers warn that there's another way attackers could exploit the popular browser for malicious purposes. Researchers Billy Rios and Nate McFetters, who attracted recent attention with their warnings about the multi-browser uniform resource identifier protocol handling flaw, claim to have discovered a new way for attackers to exploit Firefox to push malware onto targeted machines via the user's browsers. They claim to have discovered a way to exploit a common handler with a single unexpected URI. Once again, they said, URI payloads could be passed by the mail-to NNTP news and SNews URIs, allowing attackers to pass the payload without any user interaction. The researchers said they have contacted Mozilla and that they are working on it. For now, Rios said, he and McFeeters will refrain from giving out the exact details of how this latest flaw is executed. Next, some flaws are fixed in Kerberos, a widely used program for securely authenticating a request for a service in a computer network. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology has fixed several critical Kerberos 5 flaws attackers could exploit to cause a buffer overflow and run malware on targeted machines. Because it's used so extensively, Danish vulnerability clearinghouse Secunia labeled the flaw as highly critical in its advisory. The company warned that the flaws can be exploited by malicious users and malicious people to compromise a vulnerable system. Secunia recommended users eliminate the threat to their systems by updating to Kerberos 155 or 163 as soon as it becomes available or by applying the patches. Pedro Mamini, head of Tipping Point's security research group, has been busy this summer touting a new tool for functional protocol testing, also known as fuzzing. He co-wrote the recently released book Fuzzing, Brute Force Vulnerability Discovery, along with Michael Sutton and Adam Green. And he used his stage time at the Black Hat USA 2007 briefings in Las Vegas to unveil the new Sully Fuzzing framework. He recently sat down with me to talk about the book and how he believes the Sully framework will take fuzzing to the next level.
So probably one of the biggest advantages of Sully is that it's fully automated. I can set it up on a Friday afternoon and it'll run through the entire weekend. And whether it finds 1, 50, or 5,000 crashes, every single time it'll restore the target to a healthy state and then continue going through all the other test cases, so it can complete the audit, you know, while you're away from the system.
And now, talk about, now you've just rolled it out this year, am I correct there?
You rolled it out, yes. It was released in at this Black Hat.
So, how, talk about how things are going so far as, IT shops adopting it. Where are we at with it?
Well, it's not, it's not a point-and-click tool, so it requires I wouldn't say an extremely significant, but it definitely requires some background and skill set. You can't just take this tool and unpackage it and just start running it. There's some development, some knowledge, some time that's going to have to be spent. It's more of a hammer than it is, you know, just a bundled kit of some kind. Mm-hmm. So what we have gotten a lot of positive reviews. A lot of the people who are in the fuzzing industry, a lot of other guys who we have never heard of, sent us a lot of positive feedback, questions on know, I can do this, or I've been using for this, this is really interesting. You know, we've gotten a lot of just raw thank yous for, you know, creating this tool. To get it to a point where it can be used by, for example, a QA shop, you know, someone who really isn't a security researcher, but more of just a developer or part of testing, will require some more work. And it's one of the things that we're doing. It's not at the forefront of our interest because, you know, our goal is not to create a commercial product here. Our goal is to use this tool to discover vulnerabilities. But it is something that we are kind of working on in the background. The hopes is that one day we can just have an appliance that you would be able to, like a VMware image that you'd be able to just run and then connect to it over a web interface and use a point-and-click interface to build a fuzzer and also point-and-click interface to launch this fuzzer against some target.
Mm-hmm. And going to be conceived as a tipping point product, or is this something that the hope is that it will transcend vendors?
It's not. It's not at all a product. There's definitely zero plans to ever make it a product. Really, the motivation for building this came out when, I want to say about a year and a half ago, one of the things that my team is responsible for doing is product security assessment. So we'll take one of the 3Com products, or one of the tipping point products, and we'll set it up in the lab and try and find holes in it before someone on the outside does. And we had purchased a commercial fuzzer. This thing was, you know, carried a big price tag, $20,000+. And it just had a lot of shortcomings. It really wasn't accomplishing the task as we had hoped it would. And in the process of you know, going through this audit and dealing with the frustrations of using this commercial tool, we kind of said, hey, we need to just bite the bullet and spend some time building our own fuzzer for our own benefit. You know, 6 to 8 months later, when we realized how powerful it is and how usable it is, we thought, you know, let's make this thing open source, get some other developers outside in helping out, and just kind of share this with the rest of the industry.
Mm-hmm. And now, I also noticed that you co-wrote a book with Michael Sutton, who I've talked to many times, and Adam Green, called Fuzzing Brute Force Vulnerability Discovery, and that was published in July, was it?
Yeah, actually it was published, I want to say, just a week before Black Hat.
So talk about the concept of the book and what you're hoping readers will walk away with.
Sure. So just to give you some background on how that started, it was over a year ago. Michael and Adam were giving a talk at Black Hat Japan on a pair of fuzzing tools that they had written. And one of the managers over at Addison Wesley approached him and said, hey, would you be interested in writing a fuzzing book? No such book exists. You know, they kind of sat down and thought about it and did some research. Like, you know, you're right, there is no book that kind of covers fuzzing. So they kind of attempted to write, you know, put this book together, and a month or two later, just, we're all friends. So just some daily conversations, when they realized what kind of stuff I was working on, they thought I'd be a perfect addition to it. So they approached me with the book concept, and that's when we really put our heads down and all kind of attacked the writing of this book. And it's really structured with two goals in mind. One of them is, it's very hands-on oriented. There is no, when you're doing fuzzing, it's not like you're using a web browser or using Microsoft Word. You know, it's really open-ended. There's many languages, many tools, a lot of environments. So one of our goals was to make it very hands-on oriented so that you could learn how to build a fuzzer as much as you could how to use a fuzzer. And so part two of the book goes through a list of targets like web services, command line applications, network daemons, you know, so on and so forth. And for each one, it gives kind of a background of the target, and then either one or two chapters on how you might go about automating the development of, you know, a tool to attack that target on a Unix environment and a Windows environment. So that was one of the main goals of the book. And the second goal of the book was to attempt to bring fuzzing to more of a larger industry outside of the security researchers, trying to reach QA developers, people who are not specifically involved in security testing, but, you know, we feel that because fuzzing can be automated at such a high level, you don't need to have a strong skill set in security in order to leverage the benefits of fuzzing. There's no reason why a developer can't be fuzzing his code during the software development lifecycle to kind of reduce the number of bugs that are going to be present after the software goes gold and gets published.
That's it for this week. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts, featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. Again, I'm Bill Brenner. As always, thanks for listening.